Stand together and turn to Psalm chapter 81. Psalm chapter number 81, as you're finding your place. I'm sorry, we're glad to have Brother Pastor Silva with us and his wife here this morning. Santa Maria, and if I get it right, 40th anniversary of the church, and you've been there 32 years? Wow, tremendous. Thank you for joining us this morning. And then in the deaf ministry, I think they had a deaf expo, and we have four gentlemen here. They were here to basically witness there to folks. They're from out of state, and they're joining us this morning. Don, if you could have the gentlemen that are visiting raise their hand for us. All right. Thank you for coming. Let's give them the deaf applause. Thank you. Okay. Psalm chapter number 81. Psalm chapter number 81. Thank you for being in your place, being faithful this morning. And those of you that are with us for the first time, thank you for being with us. Psalm chapter 81, we're going to read 16 verses here. Psalm chapter 81, verse number 1. It says, "Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp, and the psalmistry. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob. For he ordained it in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, when I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou will hearken unto me. There shall no strange God be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange God. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should have soon subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee." And let's pray. Father, bless our few minutes together. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Last week, of course, we had a special message because we had Friend Day, but the 2 weeks before that, we're not really in a series, but it's kind of become a series here. We're kind of talking about what I'm calling now, it is going to be a series, I have a few more messages coming up, on having a right spiritual diet, the right spiritual diet. You ever hear the phrase, you are what you eat, right? How many of you heard that? That means if you eat at McDonald's, you're a horse. I don't know if you know that, okay? I don't like McDonald's. I don't know. I know. I don't know if you are necessarily what you eat, but I do know that what you eat determines your health, determines how you feel, determines how healthy you are. A couple services ago, we talked about taking the ultimate taste test when we looked at the verse in Psalms, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." And then a couple weeks ago, we talked about settling for substitutes, that which is fake. Well, today I want to go on with that. If children are going to eat right, if we are going to eat right, it really should start when you're a child. And if you're going to eat right, you need to be taught how to eat right. And sometimes you need, and by the way, this doesn't happen in our society, and it's kind of sad. If you're going to eat right, you got to kind of force your children to eat right. Okay? By the way, people don't do that anymore. I'm glad. My grandfather was old school. Lived right over here off Dominguez Street, over here off Santa Fe. And when I was first to third grade, I went to school over there, so we would stay with them because of my mom's work schedule. And my grandmother was old school too. My grandfather, you sat at the table to eat. You did not get up from the table unless you asked his permission. And he would look to make sure you ate everything. Now, thankfully, they had a whole old floor heater that didn't work very well. And so sometimes there'd be something on a plate I didn't want, and I'd fling it down the floor heater. Okay? But Grandpa checked, and there was stuff there I didn't want to eat. By the way, there was words that would horrify me. Like, Grandma, what's for dinner? This one would just strike fear into my heart. Eggplant. First of all, I didn't even know that if you buried eggs, you could get a plant out of them. Okay, I'm kidding. But we got to make them eat right. What happens when you try to feed a child something they don't like? They close their mouth. All right, how many of you had children do that? And it's like, I'm not opening it. And by the way, children have a tendency to base what they're going to eat off sight and texture. The other day, I think Emily came in and they had went to, I hate to say it, it's sin. They stopped at McDonald's for some strange reason, even though I tell them it's sin. But she had one of their pies. She had an extra one. It was pumpkin pie. And so three of the grandkids were there. So I'm like, hey, who wants some of this? And so Steve, he's like one. He will eat anything. He runs up. I give him some. Ellie comes up and I give her some. And Charlie looked at it and she didn't like the color of the pumpkin in the middle. And she would not open her mouth to eat it. And I'm like, sister, this is a pie. This is not broccoli. It's a pie. And she wouldn't do it. And Ellie's like, I'll take it. And she, wham, took it out of my hand. Then all of a sudden, Charlie's looking. I'm like, you're done. You're not getting anything. Okay? You wouldn't eat it. But they shut their mouth because they don't like it. We had a child in the daycare. It was about 5 or 6. Her parents told us, my wife has a daycare in our house, and the parents told she would not eat anything. Right? Remember who I'm talking about? She wouldn't eat anything. I mean, she just shut her mouth. There was only 2 or 3 things she would eat. Now, when she was at our house, she didn't have a choice. She always ate. And we tried to tell her parents, she'll eat if you just ask her to. Now, where am I getting at? Well, lunch is soon, and I'm getting hungry. I know this. If you're going to have a spiritual diet, you can't eat if your mouth is closed. I think that's what is being said here in the text. In Psalm 81, the psalmist here is calling for the people to worship their Lord. And if you look at the first 6 verses, that's what he's talking about. And then in verse 7, God starts addressing their problems. And ultimately, some of the reasons why they're not worshiping him, why they're not really serving him. What is their primary problem? Why did the children of Israel so often miss out on doing and receiving what God had for them? By the way, that's the history of Israel. They constantly were in rebellion to God. But I'll just be real honest with you. It seems like that's the history of many Christians. It just seems like we just don't do the things that God wants us to do, and we're not even open to the things that God wants us to do. What's the problem? The problem is verse 10. He says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. It's amazing how often God would remind them about what he did for them in Israel when they were in Egypt. Why? Because that God showed that he could deliver them from anything. In that time, that's when God showed his great and ultimate power. All of the plagues, parting the Red Sea, getting rid of Pharaoh's army. And really, when God did that, he is showing his love for them. And yet, despite all that God offers them, in essence, spiritually speaking, they come to God so often with their mouth closed. They don't want anything that he has for them. Sad if we think what might have been, not just for them, but what for us, if we didn't have a closed mouth to all that God wants to feed us or give us. A man named John Ritter wrote these words, of all sad words of tongues and men, the saddest are these, what might have been, because those are words of regret. And if anything, you ought to try to live your life spiritually in such a way that you never get to the end of your life and you look back and say, I have regret. By the way, I'm not old. I'm older, okay? But the older you get, the more you realize the less time you have. And so if you don't do right, you're going to look back and think, man, I wasted years. And by the way, if you came to Christ later on, we're not looking at the past. We're looking to the future. And so let's do everything we can. But the message this morning is, if we're going to have the right spiritual diet, our mouth must be open to the right things. Good diets are about eating the right food. Now, it's unfortunate. You know, the food we desire is the wrong food, right? I mean, listen. If you put, you know, you put a chili dog on one on the left hand and you put asparagus on the right hand, chili dog wins every time. I'm sorry. But asparagus is better for you, right? I mean, you go look at the vending machines we have out here. Flaming Hot Cheetos. You know, if you want nutrition from Flaming Hot Cheetos, you'd be better off eating the bag that they're packaged in. Okay, that's not healthy. But, you know, if we put asparagus and broccoli in there, no one's going to buy it. But our mouth has got to be open to the right kind of things. Let me just share a few thoughts with you on this thought of let's have our mouths open. What closes our mouth? Number one, your mouth is closed if you're not wanting what he offers. Look at verse 11. It's kind of, these verses, once you get past verse 10, are a little bit sad. He says, but my people would not hearken to my voice. And look what he says. And Israel would none of me. You almost see when someone wants you to do something, you say, he's just not having it. I don't want any of that. What they're saying here, they just did not want what I had to offer, and so they didn't listen. They didn't listen. They refused to hear what God had to say about their life. Now, we're using a spiritual analogy of a closed mouth, but really the analogy here is closed ears. They did not even want to hear what God had to say. You ever deal with someone, they get in trouble and they're lying, it's like, just stop, I don't want to hear it anymore. I've had to deal with enough situations and enough issues with people over the years. Sometimes it's like, I just don't want to hear it. You're going to stop and listen for a little bit. Well, they're telling God that. And by the way, if you're going to tell somebody that, God's not the one to tell. Okay? Let God have the last word. The fact of the matter is they're rejecting what he offered. They didn't want to hear it. They thought that they had it all figured out in their life. The fact of the matter is they didn't even want to know what God had on the menu. Now, as Christians, that ought not be the way we live. As Christians, once we're saved, our hearts ought to be open to say, God, what do you have for me? What do you want me to do? If it's in the Bible, Lord, I'm in on it. I love that song that the guy sang, this blessed old book. If you read the Bible and you find there's some, did you sing that part, Nick? Y'all might want to live it sometime, but anyhow. If you find that there's something wrong, there's something wrong with you. I don't know how many times I've read the Bible and I'm like, ow. Ouch. The fruit of the Spirit. Love. Okay, I'm in. Joy. All right. Peace. Well, you've never been to my house. Kindness. Patience. It's like this. Gentleness. Yeah. And so we read these things and it's like, that's God's way of saying, this is how I want you to be. This is how you can be. But so often we're like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. How sad it is when a Christian has no relationship with their Bible. You need to get that down. You can come to church, the fact of the matter is, 7 days a week. 8 days, you can come 8 days a week. We're not here that often, okay? You can come all the time. But let me just tell you something. If you are not open to just getting in God's word and letting him speak to you. But see, that's a flaw in our human nature. We don't like to hear where we're wrong. Now, we're really good at sharing with others where they're wrong, right? We're experts in that area. That's why someone has said, when you point your finger at somebody, you have three pointing right back at you. We ought to always be open to what is going on in my life. Let's never get to the point where we tell the Lord, some of us were so, we would say, I would never tell God. I would never tell God, no, I'm not going to listen. But yet in reality, that's how we act. We try to look at what's going on in our society around us, and we try to fit our views into the Bible. That's not how it works. God says, take my views and fit them into your life. Take what I say and make it a part of your life. But if our mouth is closed because our ears are closed, we will never, ever do that. Jeremiah 15:16 has really the way we should be. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by my name, O Lord of hosts. How often do we have our mouth closed and we miss what we could have had? Job chapter 23 and verse 12. Job going through the midst of trial. And everybody knows the story of Job. And all the nonsense going on and all the drama and all that he lost. And then his friends, to make it worse, show up. And they're about as much help as a kick in the head. Job chapter 23 and verse 12. He says, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Wow. Job said, where I'm at right now, more than food, more than nutrition, I need God's words. Don't you think we do? The longer that we are Christians, the easier it is for us to get this attitude. I've heard it before. Been there, done that. What do they say? Got the t-shirt, okay? But we ought to always be open. There was a new pastor that came. He took over a church, and he got up and preached on Sunday morning. Church loved the message. Next Sunday morning, he gets up, preaches again. It's the exact same message he preached the week before. Now, the people cut him some slack. They thought, well, you know, maybe he forgot. You know, he's a new pastor. Maybe he's nervous. He forgot that he preached that last week. We'll let it slide. Until the third week, he got up and preached the same message again. So the people got around him and said, we got to ask about this. And now, pastor, do you understand you've preached the same message 3 weeks in a row? He goes, yeah. He goes, why did you do that? He goes, once you start living that one, we'll move on to the next one. Okay? That's kind of how it works. Number two, your mouth is closed if you only open it for your desires. Look at verse 12. By the way, all these are very sad statements, to be honest with you, if we think it through. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust. You see, they didn't want what God had for them. He said, open your mouth wide, I'll fill it. And they said, no, we're not going to listen. We're going to do our own thing. And God says, if that's what you want to do, if you only want to do what you want to do, I'm going to give you up to that. I'm going to let you go do it. You know, we would say, I'm going to let you have your own way. By the way, letting someone have their own way is really bad. And this isn't child rearing 101, but let me just throw this in. Never give in to your children. Okay? Your little sweetheart comes up. I want to, and I'm not harping on this, but yes, I am. I want a cell phone because I know someone else has a cell phone. Tell them no. Your kid doesn't need a cell phone or whatever it is. Okay? Our house, the inmates don't run the asylum. The crazy man does, all right? That's not how it works. Okay, we have rules. They get a cell phone when they're out of high school, if I feel they deserve it. They get their license when they're 18. Why? Have you seen insurance rates? Okay, have you seen how a 17 and a 16-year-old drives? Are you serious? That's just practical, all right? But listen, what we do is we whine or whatever, and fine, you can have it. We don't realize the damage. Well, God knew it was going to happen. He's like, you ain't going to listen to me. I'll give you up. I'll let you go to your own desires. Why? Their mouth was closed, and that's the only thing that they wanted. People missed out because they weren't open to what God deemed was blessed. They wanted their own thing. That's called the flesh. All of us have this flesh, and our flesh rebels against God. That's just how it is. I'm talking about me, and I'm talking about you, okay? When a situation arises, the first thing that pops to your mind typically is not the right thing to do, because the flesh just has a tendency to speak up first, right? Okay, someone's rude to you, the flesh says, tell them off. Okay, reject that thought. Let God work on you for a minute. But that's what the flesh does. And so when we just simply follow what we want to do, we are typically on a road for a crash. And God said, that's what you want. I'm going to let you go. Let me say this. If you got saved later in life, you've lived some years by your own desires. Right? I'll just be honest with you. Now listen, those of you that God has blessed you, and you have a Christian family, and you grew up in church from the time you're in a nursery, you still have the flesh, but the things that you're hearing in your life make a little more sense to you. But if you get saved a little bit later in life, I'm just going to tell you something. When you start getting in the Bible and you start learning some things, it's going to be like, are you serious? When I walked into church as a 17-year-old, basically doing whatever I wanted my whole life and all the nonsense and drama it brought with it, and I'm sitting there in church and I'd hear him preach and I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? Now, I didn't do it in a rebellious way because I was wanting to grow in the Lord. I was just kind of shocked at some of the stuff in there. When I start reading the Bible, I'm like, huh? Didn't hear that before. That's the flesh. But the Spirit said, that's okay. It'll be all right. That's where faith comes in. Faith says, I'm going to trust what the Bible says, not what my flesh is telling me to do. Because that gets us in so much trouble. And you know what I found? The things that we thought that we wouldn't like, or I thought I wouldn't like, I come to find out I really do like. Look, when I grew up, no dad in the house. My mom did the best job she could. We did a great job to the great extent she could working and all that. But, you know, I was kind of the baby. If I didn't like vegetables, I didn't eat vegetables. I hated them. If I got a hamburger, it was like plain. And it's like salad was like a cuss word. When I got mad at my friends, I'd say salad. Okay? Because I just thought that was the worst word in the world. I'm like, if it looks like it just fell off a tree, why would you want to eat it? Okay? But I went off to Bible college, and I'm sitting in there, and there's stuff in there, and I'm like, I just said, you know, this is just kind of ridiculous. I just got to start eating this stuff. And I started trying to eat it. And then after my second or 2.5 years into college, the dining hall, they opened a brand new dining hall, and you could eat either the regular meal or they had a salad bar. I used to say, all bars are bad, whether they're serving alcohol or salad, amen? And I started eating the salad bar. I like salad. I like vegetables. I still don't like eggplant. And I don't like beets. They do something. I just don't know what it is. But, I mean, the girls will make, you know, look, asparagus, that's a twig. It is a twig. But I like it. And now they'll make all kinds of weird stuff. But I just kind of, you know what? I developed an appetite for it. And it's good for you. It doesn't taste as good as a Snickers bar, of course. But it's still good for you. And by the way, that's what happened in my Christian life. Some of the things I was doing for, the music I was listening to was not church music. And I just thought, I won't listen to any of it. I'll just give up the bad music, and I just won't listen to other stuff, and I'll just love God. And then they get up there singing. I'm like, that's good. We develop an appetite. Our desires can be changed if we decide not just to live by our desires, and we want to live by God's desires. It's very important. Here's how people are nowadays. I'll quote the verses to you. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 and 3, it says, preach the word. He's telling Timothy, you're going to preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now listen, and I think we're here. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You know, sometimes people, even in church, like they just don't want to hear it. I remember years ago, I was teaching Sunday school. I first started teaching adult Sunday school class. I'm teaching Sunday school class. And I guess I said something one of the ladies in the class didn't like. Now, I quoted the verse. I didn't really give her the reference. And she wrote me a letter Monday morning, an email. Well, where do you find? And then she signed her name. And she was like, let me know that she did not believe that. I was very kind. I said, thank you for your response. Here's the scripture. And I found the scripture, and I just put the verse on there, and I let it go. And she did email back and said, thank you for that. But it's like, I'm not trying to offend anybody, okay? But on the other hand, sometimes, by the way, you say, well, you say things sometimes, and I don't like that. Listen, I have three speakers aimed in my direction. I don't like what I say sometimes. Hey, thanks for that thought. I appreciate that. Ushers. Okay. But you know what? Is it good for us? Sometimes we need to take our desires and just say, you know what? I'm not going to live by my desires. I'm going to try to live by God's desires. Because I have found that when a person lives by simply their own desires, life has a tendency to be empty. Oh, you might get a bunch of stuff. You might even be successful in the eyes of society. But inside, you will be empty, lonely, and life's a mess. Number three, your mouth is closed when you're not willing to make life changes. Verse 12, the second part of the verse, he gave them up to their own lust, and they walked in their own counsels. In other words, the decisions that they made about how they were going to live in their life, the decisions that they came, that just faced their way in life, they made their own decision, their own counsel. They consulted with themselves and thought, here's what I think is best to do. Why? Because they understood that if they did what God would tell them, what God would tell them to do, it would involve changes. And people don't like change, especially when it's a change in the way they're supposed to live. But the fact of the matter is, that's just how life is. Think about it. The analogy we're using is health, right? If you go see a doctor and they'll talk to you and something's going on in your life, you know what they're going to say? You need to make changes. I mean, you know, a healthy diet is not eating at Taco Bell and drinking a fruit drink. So I get all the major food groups there. Okay, the bread is the tortilla. Okay, the poultry is the chicken. Dairy, is dairy in there? That's the cheese. What's the hot sauce? I don't think it's in any category, but it really helps. And you know, the high C, that's the fruit, all right? That's not how it works. They're gonna tell you need to make some changes. You might need to incorporate a little bit of exercise in your diet, in your life. By the way, exercise takes time, and it's not a lot of fun. You know, you might need to change some things you eat. That's what it takes. Now, you don't have to, but your health's never going to change unless you do. If what you're doing is causing a problem, then you need to change what you're doing if you want to get rid of the problem, right? Insanity is doing the same thing, the same way, and expecting different results. But we don't like to change. That's what we need to. If we're going to be healthy, we need to change. Romans chapter 12, verse 16. Be of the same mind towards one another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in thine own conceits. Proverbs 3:5. Trust the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Proverbs Isaiah 11:25. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes. Now, what do these all have what's the word I'm looking for, Brother Pichardo? And thank you. What do they all have in common? He wrote the outline, so he should know. What do they all have in common? It's a rebuking of self being in charge. right? The reason we want to do our own thing is because we think we know what's best for our life. And so if we're going to do God's thing, what we need to do is say, I'm not in control because I don't know what's best. Let's let God be in control of our life. But I'm going to tell you something now. If you're going to do it, it's going to require some change. If you're going to get to where God wants you to get, it's going to require change. Listen, you say, well, you have two people and their marriage is struggling. Listen, you can counsel them until you're blue in the face. But if someone is not willing to make some changes, nothing is ever going to change. Change. We don't want to change. We're used to, well, you know, this is kind of just how my family's always done things. That's wonderful, but is it working? Well, that's just kind of how I roll. Well, is that working? Well, not really. Okay, then we got to change. If you're not willing to change, in essence, you've told God that you're in control. See, we like quick fixes, right? What's the advertisement? Lose 100 pounds in 2 months and eat everything you want and don't exercise. They must be talking about cutting your head off. You'll lose some weight there too. Okay? Or, you know, here's a diet. You exercise 5 minutes a week and drink this shake and then you can eat whatever you want. I have no idea how that's going to work. And if it does work, it's probably not good for you. But that's what we want, you know? Do whatever you want. Eat whatever you want. Exercise 5 minutes a day and everything will be fine. No, it won't. That's not how it works. And it doesn't work spiritually too. Well, you know, put a bumper sticker on your car and all is well. I mean, don't you see the Jesus bumper sticker? Did you send me the joke? Okay, I'll use it. Thanks. He just emailed me a joke. Here's a guy stopped at a red light and he had to stop really fast. And the lady behind him almost hit him. So she got out of the car and she got in his face and was cussing and swearing at him. She went back to her car. Police officer was behind her. He walked up, knocked on the window, took her out, arrested her, took her down to the jail. And then after a while, he came back and he said, "We're going to let you go. I made a mistake." He says, "When I saw your car, I saw a sticker that said, 'What would Jesus do? Pro-life. I love my church.' And I saw the Jesus emblem. So when you were yelling at that guy, I thought someone stole your, that was, you were driving a stolen car." Okay. Isn't that how we are? We're not okay because we come to church. We're not okay because we carry a Bible or because we have a bumper sticker or occasionally we say, "Praise God." What about the rest of the time? Now, I'm not saying you're going to be perfect. Don't get me wrong. But if that's the only time you say God is when you're singing one of the songs at church, something's wrong. Lastly, your mouth is closed if you're not allowing him to determine the menu. Now God's lamenting a little bit in verse 13 to 16. Let's read them. "Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways." God say, "Man, I wish they would have just followed me." Why? "I should have subdued their enemies." Look at all this that he wanted to do for them. "I should have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries." He said, "Man, everybody that was against them, I would have got them out of the way. It wouldn't have been a problem. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever." Then he says this, "He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee." What is God saying here? I had a wonderful menu for you, and you chose this. You know, we went to a place someone gave us, Fleming Steakhouse, for you. Now we went there because someone gave us gift cards. All I know is before you could sit down and order, they asked for a credit check. It was a high-end place. I ain't going back. We parked next to two Teslas and a Maserati. And we were driving a Yugo. No. It was really high-end. Listen, if someone's offering me Fleming's or a gift certificate to, I won't say McDonald's, that's Spires. Listen, I'm going to Fleming's. You know, the best. God says, "I had the best. I have fine wheat. I had the best honey for you. And you're choosing Twinkies. Now, if they're deep fried, that's okay. But Twinkies, that's okay for an occasional snack, but that's not life. You know, cotton candy. What is cotton candy? It's sugar mixed with air. That's what it is. It's like, it's that huge and you like touch it and it disintegrates. It has no nutritional value whatsoever. You may like the taste of it, but you won't like the way it makes you feel. And he's saying, I had the best for you. You should have followed my menu. But instead, you followed your own menu. And because of that, you lost out on all of this I had for you. What are you missing out on today? I know this. If you look at your life and you're not satisfied with where it's at, and you look at your Christianity and you say, man, I don't think I'm getting everything I can get out of it, I can tell you this, 100% certainty, it's not God's fault. God has it on the table. But what are you choosing? God could offer the greatest stuff ever. But if we're coming to the table with our mouth closed, we're getting none of it. God wants to fill us. I like, in the Bible, when I think of filling, it's a symbolism for God's blessing in our life. Don't you want God's blessing on what you're doing? Pastor Esposito, all he called, the favor of God. Don't we want the favor of God on our life? We won't get it if our mouth. Satisfaction. You know, you out playing basketball and you get thirsty. Listen, if you drink a Coca-Cola, that's okay for about 20 seconds. It's not satisfying. But if you drink water, that takes care of all your needs. Quality. Security. You see, you can have all of those things, but you're never going to have them. Look at your spiritual life today and we'll be done. Your life can be decimated. Why? Because you're malnourished. You can be a Christian, but if you're not feeding at the trough, if your mouth is closed, you're losing spiritual weight. You could be diseased. You're eating the wrong thing. Some of you are declining. You used to be in great spiritual health. Now you're not. But you can have a dynamic life. How do we have that? We're doing the right things. We're just following God. You know, he says, open thy mouth wide. That's our part. What's the next part? I will fill it. Not, I'll throw something in there. You know, I'll give you a little bit, just enough to keep you going. God says, man, I'll fill that thing. You'll have everything you need. The choice always comes back to us. What diet are we choosing? Are we refusing God's? Or are we open to everything he has? Let's stand together just for a minute.